Hello, this is Rika, and this is another episode of Asian American Adventures in Japan. It was about 2 weeks late, but it's for a good reason for that. The first week I was actually crazy busy. I normally do this on Sundays or Mondays, and more Sundays, but I couldn't because I was dead tired because I pulled a lot of work days. I had a business trip that where I recorded the last one, and then I came back and I did a week of classes and then had to work on Sunday on a rare occasion for a special debate lesson event with some of the older students. And then after that, during the next week, a little bit tired because like I found out there was a bus at the school I was covering on Tuesday wasn't running anymore because they changed the schedule because of a diagram redrawing project that's going on. And then the later part of the week we had monsoon rains. Basically it's the rainy season here in Japan, but it was like crazy rain. There actually was a typhoon that was registered on the JMA website before, and by the time like it actually like got over us, like the cyclone and the wind went away, but the rain clouds didn't. So we had basically three days of pouring rain, that which many of you may have seen on the news. Hiroshima and Okayama got hit the worst. I have a friend that's in Hiroshima, and she's very fortunate where her house was not affected, and she's like just outside the evacuation area. I'm really fortunate where like my house is also was not called to be evacuated, and neither was the classroom I was at that week, but I still had to go and walk through the rain. And in safe areas, not any areas that were actually affected, but like it's just a lot of rain and my pants constantly getting wet. For me, it was like more of a minor inconvenience, but for other people, it was like really terrible. Like one of the towns that's like completely flooded is Kurashiki, and Kurashiki is on the other side of the Sedouchi and in Okayama. It's a train stop on the way to the mainland, because if you wanted to take the Shinkansen from where I am, you take the marine liner from Takamatsu Station and take it to Okayama, and on the way you pass through Kurashiki. I've been there before because I had to go cover lessons at a classroom at Chayamachi Station, and I'm kind of a little concerned about that because like I don't like know any of the kids that I met that day like personally or anything, because I've only seen them once. But at the same time, it's like dawning on me that because they live in that area, that like I may have met people a few months ago that may have drowned in the last week, and it's kind of really depressing. But yeah, it's pretty serious. The body count last night was, when I watched the news, was about like 120 people, and 50 unaccounted for missing. It's pretty depressing. But yeah, that's pretty much why I haven't been recording, other than just being kind of generally tired from how much work I pulled. It's like this is kind of more, slightly more of a regular schedule and easier week, except it's not, because the typhoon also, or typhoon slash or more like typhoon rains without the cyclone, flooded the other classrooms that I usually go to. And this week I'm at Kanonji, and there's a bridge between the station before Kanonji Station and Kanonji that apparently got damaged and went and fell apart. That was apparently on the local news here. And so right now they have a bus that goes between Motoyama Station and Kanonji Station. And I'm on a kind of limited schedule right now where I can't teach the last class. So like we have to cancel them, reschedule them for another day. We're not sure when, because on Friday, the Japanese teacher here had to cancel classes on Friday for evacuation. So, yeah, we're going to figure that out. It's a little tough. really tiring too when you have to add on an extra type of transportation to your commute. It's like adds on maybe like another 25 minutes to an hour, depending on how timely you are in getting to the next piece of transportation and what train you get on and paying attention when you get which stop you're at. Yesterday, I came way later than I should have, only because I didn't notice that the local train didn't really have a connecting, and that the well like I could have switched to the Rapid, and which went ahead at an earlier station, and then I didn't notice that the connecting train was actually the Rapid. It gets to the same station, and then it just turns into a local train going the rest of the way. I was like, oh, great. But I noticed that today, and it's like, fine. And yesterday, I helped a tourist from Germany because he was lost and came to Japan at this time and didn't know what the heck was going on. So, yay. Let me think. That's the main thing I wanted to talk about at the moment right now. I also forgot one thing. So if you're listening to this, you might notice that there's some background noise and extra sound. I actually don't have a mic anymore because the rain apparently damaged my earphones with the microphone on it. So I need to find a new pair that has a mic. The pair of earphones I have right now are just like regular earphones for a music player, and so I can use it to listen to my music on the train and such now, but I don't have one that I can use to talk to anyone with, which is handy sometimes if I have to call into the office for some reason when there's transportation issues. This year we got ahead on everything. Last year for I was at coming to this exact school, and when the typhoon knocked part of the tracks into the sea, I think I mentioned that in an earlier disaster podcast, and that when that week, it was basically all last minute when I was finding out all those transportation details and how to do it, and I was doing it on the fly and in contact with my boss about what's going on, and I wasn't exactly sure about how long it would take for me to get there because I was still trying to figure everything out, and I think the JR company was still trying to figure out everything to an extent. Everything was smoother the day after, but the first day was kind of really hectic trying to get to the classroom and finding out for the first time, I have to take this bus to go around the station. This time, my boss found out all the information and messaged all of us the night before to let us know and make plans. Some classes for other classrooms had to be canceled because there's no way to get to the classroom. I'm pretty lucky, and through all that times, all through the rain and everything, somehow my earphones got damaged, that I used last year for calling our head office to let them know that I'm not sure when exactly I'm going to arrive at the right station because I'm waiting for the train. Normally you're not really supposed to call on the train, but I think I could be forgiven for that moment because it's like everyone's a little running a little late and trying to figure this thing out. So, yeah. Okay. All right, so next I want to do something that's a little bit more light. First of all, just to kind of recap a little bit from the last one, I did go toward the area of Dogo Onsen, but I actually didn't feel like taking a bath at the time I was there. And so I didn't actually go in. Maybe it was a good thing because after that I decided to go home, and just as I was leaving it started to rain, so maybe okay. But anyway, the next part, I just wanted to talk a bit about a product or something else that's here. So for this next segment, I wanted to do a mini review of like Sokim Bisui. So it's a new drink that just came out recently. It's made by the people that make Sokim Bicha, which is like basically like a tea. It's a very light tea with a lot of different kinds of ingredients in it, like herby ingredients. And it's made by the Coca-Cola company in Japan, but like the Sokim Bisui is like water. It's just flavored water. And this is like basically, it's like citrus water. There's a different 7 types of extract from different citruses. I can't read all of them. One of them is a lemon and an orange and yuzu peel. And then after that, there's a bunch of fruits that I can't read. What's a hatomugi? I can't look it up right now, like because I'm doing this recording. But yeah, this is a new thing that just came out. It's really refreshing, and I actually really like it. I always buy it now. I really like Sokim Bicha, like, and I couldn't. It took a while for me to get used to the flavor of it. Even for mugicha, it took me a while to get used to like being able to drink it, because the flavor is a little bit strong at first, especially when it's not cold. You're supposed to drink it cold, but like, I mean, when you're walking around throughout the day, it can kind of like warm up and lose the chill that from the refrigerator. And like, especially during the summer, it gets warm really easily. And but yeah, so Sokim Bisui is a new thing. It has no caffeine in it, and extracts from 7 different things, and it's really okay, sorry there. There was lying. And yeah, so for next week, we have to check our schedules and everything. So somebody posted in our group that, our line group, that they checked it and everything. Yeah, Sokim Bisui. I don't know if they are exporting it. Sometimes Japanese supermarkets and like just Asian markets around the world, they'll like import some Japanese drinks like that. But like, I don't think they do Sokim Bicha or Sokim Bisui usually. I think I usually see like Mugicha and other kinds. It's, I know for a while, like even the afternoon tea brands, they for a while they were bringing over the milk teas, and then they stopped, and I was devastated. I was like, why? And then I moved here, and it's like, no, they still make them. Why aren't they bringing them anymore? But yeah, I live here now, so it doesn't matter. It's kind of surprising, actually, that Japanese beverage companies are always experimenting. There's always new products out in like convenience stores and everything. They mark them too, and it's like every month there's a new thing for you to try. And this is the new one that came out within the last month or so, and it's really tasty. There's other new ones that are like seasonal that I try, maybe like lychee flavor or like a blue raspberry flavor, or like lately there's a lot of grapefruit too. So just different things. Grapefruit's not my jam, but that's a thing that's going on right now. It's a trend. Okay, so that's the end of our little food segment. Please try Sokim Bisui. I give it 4.5 stars. Alright, okay, so now for the next part, I wanted to talk a bit about watching anime. This is actually a couple days later from the last 2 recordings. It's taken me a long time to do this week's because I'm exhausted and just really tired. My brain is not going as fast as I would like it to be because of having to do the extra commutes and everything. It's you don't think like having that extra time would actually make you all that much tired, but it does. I apologize so much for the dead space at the end of like some of the segments. Like doing this without the mic is also kind of throwing me off on the controls of this, and I'm trying to find a way to go back and edit, but it doesn't look like there is one. I kind of have to just like redo it, but I don't want to redo the whole thing. And the next part, of course, is watching anime in Japan. And for the most part, you can just watch anime on the regular TV. Like, there's the basic channels. But like for TV, as like some people might know, you have to pay a tax on the TV, and the tax on the TV goes toward funding NHK. It's like $100, but like, I mean, $100 like for a year, not like a month. It's not too much. I think mine is actually already taken out through my rent as a part of like Leo Palace service because of the LifeStick situation and everything that they have set up. And like my apartment already has an NHK sticker outside of it. So I'm thinking it's already prepaid and everything through the stuff I'm already paying. So I'm probably okay. But yeah, you can just watch it through regular channels. They have stuff on NHK, like I believe the Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card series is on NHK. But other series are on like Fuji TV, TV Asahi, and so on. So like TBS and yeah. So a lot of them usually air toward the evening, like as shows for small children will air in the mornings, like really early morning before school time, so that they can watch it before school. And then other ones will air toward the evening, and like Yokai Watch is apparently like Friday evening. So a lot of kid fan, small children, maybe if you teach at Eikaiwa like I do, may not necessarily be happy about missing their show if they have to come to your class then, or like they might plan a different day so that they can watch it. But yeah, so those are their like the regular channels. And then of course if you miss it, you can watch on the there's some networks that you can watch on their website, or they might have an on-demand app that you can watch some shows on. But like a lot of those require a Japanese IP, so you can't really use it outside of Japan. Alternatively, there's also Netflix. Netflix actually does simulcast-ish streaming of shows like within a week after it airs in Japan, and then posts it to their network. And then so if it's part of the original program, which a lot of them are, within about a week or two after it finishes in Japan, it'll actually like drop completely to the international versions. Like I watched Violet Evergarden that way, and about 1 or 2 weeks after it finished here, like my friends all posted on Facebook like, "Oh, I just found out about this new anime that dropped on Netflix called Violet Evergarden." It's like, yeah, I finished it already. It's good, watch it. But yeah, it's like not that new. But that's kind of how the contract system works, apparently. I'm like watching Nanatsu no Taizai, Seven Deadly Sins that way, because I think it just finished. I haven't caught up yet because I've been so busy. But the last episode I think aired maybe like a week or two ago. Yeah, so there's that. And also, let's see. So Netflix, and then Hulu will also do some episodes as well. Same as in the US, except like it's kind of more a little more similar to Netflix, where they have like their own specific contracts. Hulu actually has more of the contracts with the network sometimes. So yeah, it's kind of like easier than making your own app. You can just like use Hulu's interface. It's kind of true for a lot of like US networks as well, or a lot of the back channels for like shows, maybe like The Daily Show, are actually like kind of subsets of Hulu, and like in terms of the engine that's running the streaming. And let's see. And then there's also like other kinds of services that are free. To a limited extent, like there's Abema TV, which is a little bit more new, and Gal, and there's an Animax app. So there's on those shows, there are some anime and shows that are free, to an extent, maybe like for on a trial basis. And then if you want to watch more, you have to pay them for a subscription. For gout, it's a little bit more inconvenient in that they don't have a huge selection and they have a lot more behind the paywall. Animax, I haven't really tried the app that much, but they have, it's a little bit more like Alabama TV, where they have like their own kind of channels and shows on there, and it's like you can have access to it. There's like on the Leo Palace, like Life Stick, there's an Animax. You get Animax for free on there, which is pretty cool for like foreigners that really like anime. So yeah, you can access it from there, and then let's see. And there's some on-demand shows in the Animax app, but it's not. I didn't really find it to be that great of a selection. It's like it's an okay selection, but I think you might have to pay if you want to get like something more specific off of there. On the plus side, for you can basically do video on demand like on a paid basis through the LeoNet LifeStick if you live in a Leo Palace. And like for me, because I have an internet subscription, they also give me like a ticket to watch a free movie or on-demand video of some sort. Like that's cool. And like I didn't get around to going to the theater for Kimi no Na, so that's how I watched it. They added it to the service. Like okay, free ticket, yay! And let's see. And then so then Abema TV is like they do the simulcast thing, and then so except it's immediately after the show actually airs, so the site will update, and then you have a week to watch it for free. And then the only thing they have the most, so they'll have the most recent episode and the first episode available for free as just as like a standard for sampling. And then after that you have to pay them. And the payment goes through your Google account, and like I only know that because I had to pay because I missed an episode of Hoshinengi, and I was like, no, yeah. And then let's see, there's also I have DTV, which is a Docomo TV account. It has anime on there too, but like I should, but like I pay for that one specifically because it has dramas and things on it that I want to watch, but. They also have a Docomo anime app, and there are two separate apps, and the selection sometimes overlaps with some things, but it's also different with other things. Like I can't find all of the same things on it sometimes, and yeah. So I have both, but like I like watching dramas too, which is why I have the DTV app. But I tend to watch the D Anime app a lot more. It's pretty convenient where you can download the episodes like you do with Netflix, and they have a pretty wide selection in catalog on there, so you can try shows that you need to catch up on or ones that you always wanted to watch. And it's convenient for teaching because I can just download it at home and then bring it with me and play it in the classroom. Those are most of the major resources, though, I think, for trying to watch anime while you're in Japan. It's like most of the time they don't have subtitles on it. On a rare occasion, they'll do, especially with Netflix, there might be some subs available at the same time. Like Violet Evergarden was like that, where they had subs already. I was like, wow, commitment there. Cool. But it's quite rare, so I wouldn't like necessarily depend on it. Okay, and next I want to move on to do a little talk about some music. Last time I talked about Half by Jiobachi, and that one's a pretty good and interesting one. Maybe I didn't quite give it enough justice though, because it's pretty deep in how it talks about what it means to be biracial, and like there's a lot of stigma with that, and even a lot of stigma for like someone who's Asian who moves to an Asian country. And there's a lot of problems with like acceptance because there's like the homogeneity myth here. So that one's a pretty interesting song. If you watch the music video on YouTube, there's subtitles and everything, but it's kind of like you want to be just be free to be you and to live, and that's a lovely thing. That addition aside, I wanted to talk this time about Luck Life, which is a new band I discovered because I got obsessed with Bungo Stray Dogs, and they do the ending themes for that show, like a number of them. And they also do, I think, a song for Shokugeki no Soma, or well, another one I'm watching. I was like, Shokugeki no Soma, I think the opening theme, they do that one. But yeah, it's a new band I discovered. It's like they have a really mellow kind of sound. And like I think my favorite song of the of theirs is the one for the second season of Bungo Stray Dogs, where it's Kazenga Fukumachi. It's really good. It's like it's really addicting. It's also kind of like really sweet because like I connect like when I discover music because of an anime, it's like there's a lot of the animation that's tied with it like comes to my mind a lot, and it's when the animation team like really makes a good sync video with the song, it's like really memorable and just gets you right there. It like helps and enhances the experience of the song, and so it's like the second season is kind of like more of like a soft side of Akutagawa, and like it part of the animation for that with the type of that song, it's like Akutagawa floating and like on water, and it's like kind of like more on the contemplative side because it shows like how he's kind of like more like wanting of acceptance and things like that because of complicated things with his former teacher or like mentor, that's the word I'm looking for. But yeah. With Dazai, and I mean a lot of people really like Osamu Dazai, but like the character, like the author, maybe it's like okay, because he hasn't really written a lot and had a really short writing career. And the funny thing about that was like the real life Dazai really admired the real life Akutagawa, and in the show it's reversed. So it's like, oh, that's cool. But like in the show does the BSD Dazai is kind of a jerk and abusive. And then he like passes a lot of that along to Akutagawa and like teaching him how to be ruthless. But of course, like they're part of Port Mafia, so at the same time, it's like, what do you expect? But there's a lot of like kind of neglect and like give and take with that kind of relationship, and it's like this. The ending theme is kind of more of a step back from that and kind of like helps to add to the story when it starts to explore like the what's the meaning behind that, the effects of that thing, because in the first season it's kind of you're just more introduced to it, like it's a thing, it's there, just kind of like straightforward and factual. But now it's kind of like more like on the development side, there's a lot more deep things there. And the song, it's like I have a real attachment to like that story arc because it's like soft and it's kind of like it's has like soft moments through the verses, and then like there's also like a really refreshing feeling through the chorus when it gets back to it. But like the calmer verses are just kind of like show allow you to like kind of see and like pair up really nicely with some of like the inner childish kind of like sweet side like Akutagawa has, and I really liked that match and pairing that they did. Okay. And so I think I want to try to do a music segment for every episode from now on. So far we've done like two different artists and songs. I'm hoping to maybe expand to do something like I know a little bit more about, because these are basically just two bands I just found out about recently and like just really freshly into them, whereas like there's other bands where I really know them a lot more and I know more of their band history and I can do a more thorough discussion of them. So look forward to that in the future, I suppose. We'll see what I have planned next time. Right now there isn't a plan, I'm just kind of winging it. And to try to practice and see how to get this thing together. I'm really sorry for all the dead space. I'm getting used to doing these podcasts and everything. I'm really sorry for also saying a lot. I'm not used to this. So trying to just get adapted to this and hopefully it'll get better over time. And I will try to see you next time. And lastly, I want to try to set up a mailbag section. I think I have enough episodes and content now, or maybe I can start actually receiving something. So I'll give you guys a place to send me some stuff. Anyway, the email address you can send it to is reikatan382@gmail.com. So that's reikatan382@gmail.com. And so Tan is like kind of a cutesy ending alternate to Chan that I actually picked up from watching Dot Hack Sign. So it's just a kind of like a kind of a cutesy ending thing. But yeah, let's try sending things to those emails, to that email address. I don't have like social media set up for this yet, just because I'm just starting this out and learning how to do this thing and just getting started. So any questions or something, please send them that way. And I'll see you all next time.